Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello, welcome inside the final hour of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Steve DeSager in for Harmon this evening as we celebrate a huge MLB trade deadline day. We saw basically every contending team that had a need to fill it to an extent. And the last 24 hours have been exactly what we want the MLB trade deadline to be every single year. Didn't get it great a few months ago in the pandemic season, but today and the last 24 hours, really going back to last night with the Dodgers big trade, Yankees getting Anthony Rizzo, really made up for it. And I'll tell you, you know, before we get to the team that I think won and had the biggest trade deadline, is that we saw today two teams that have won the World Series in the last 5 years wave the white flag and say, we're done. Right? We watched the Nationals and the Cubs say, it's time for us to move on, and we're going to trade everybody. Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, Kimbrel, Scherzer, Turner, Schwarber. And we're going to get rid of everybody. We're moving on. Cubs won the World Series 5 years ago. The Nationals won the World Series not even 2 years ago. So every time you hear somebody say after a team wins a championship, it's always the same thing. Boy, how can this team lose again next season? Look how good they are. Just laugh at them. Just laugh at them because this is how sports works. Okay, yes, the Dodgers have been able to been dominant over the past 10 years. How many World Series they won? One. Right? They won one World Series, okay?
But the Braves still, all those years.
But for every one team like the Dodgers the last 10 years, the Braves in the 90s, that won one World Series but were dominant, there's 100 teams like the Nationals that put it together for a year and then they got to move on, right? That's just how it works in sports because so many things happen, especially in baseball, where you have so many moving parts and different portions of the team that have to come together. You're not going to win if you hit the ball well, you have good starting pitching, and your bullpen's terrible, right? Right? You're not going to win if you can hit the ball and you have a great bullpen, but your starting pitching sucks. You're not going to do it. You have to have everything firing at the right time. You have to have all your top players being healthy and playing at the top of their game. Right now, that's normally true for every sport, but in baseball, if you're just missing one little bit out of that, you can't make up for it. Baseball is a huge team game, but it's also an individual team game where you're missing a big star or a couple of big stars don't perform. You're not going to win, right? Look at what's going on since the Nationals have won, okay? Now, the Nationals win, and you think, okay, they got a lot of young players. They got a lot of young stars. They're going to keep winning. Well, here we are 2 years later, and some of their young players aren't as great as we thought they were going to be. Look, Trey Turner was under contract for another year, and the Nationals decided, you know what? We got to upgrade. As good as he was when he first came up, we got to upgrade. Max Scherzer is one of the top five pitchers in Major League Baseball. You know what? He's 36. We got to move on from him. Oh, Kyle Schwarber, all-star. He was really hot earlier this year, but you know what? We got to move on from him. You also get your other veterans or your other star players that just fall off a cliff, or they have a great year and then suddenly they're not that guy. It happens. That's how it goes. The window closes. And in baseball, to say, oh, this team's going to win forever. You just look, we thought the Cubs were going to win forever. Oh, they break the streak in 2016, and look how awesome this is. And, you know, with Rizzo and Bryant and Baez, they're going to be so good for so many years. And they never got back. And so they knew we got to turn the page. We got to trade our guys, and they're doing the right thing because they are going to start over. And they got so many young players. Both teams did. They're going to be able to eventually, over the course of the next 2-3 years, start to build back up. But this is how it is. I mean, this is more than norm for sports than it is, boy, this team's on top and how are you going to beat them the next year? No, it's more on how are we going to stay on top after just winning a championship, because that's the real norm in sports.
Well, look at the Philadelphia Phillies. Not that many years ago, we thought, oh, we're going to see the Phillies in the playoffs like 7-8 years in a row. They won a World Series. They came close to actually beating a very good Yankees team. Remember how the Yankees were always 10 years ago right near the Fall Classic? And in fact, it was back-to-back years the Phillies were in the World Series. And have they won even a playoff series since? Maybe one in the last decade? And so kind of like the Cubs thing, you think, oh, we're going to see them for a long time. 5 years max. And this is different than what people say in the NFL, where the careers of the individual players are so much shorter on average. There, the truism is we've got about 5 years to do something with this group, or else we're going to have to totally rebuild. And then you get a lot of last to first. You know, it's not the end for your franchise. Baseball, you get continuity in a roster. So to see what the Washington Nationals have done less than 2 years from a World Series crown, and with the great pitching they had, past tense, is really kind of stunning.
You know, go back to the Royals in 2015. Look at this. They put it all together. Yeah. Royals haven't sniffed anything even close to that, right? The Indians in 2016 getting to the World Series. Boy, they're young. They're going to be here forever.
Indians decades before that. Remember how good the Indians were when, Manny Ramirez and the rest? And, we're going to be seeing these guys for quite some time. No, it doesn't last forever.
Yeah, you saw them in 97. And that was it. Then you didn't see him again. Yeah. Look, it's just a natural thing. Look, it stinks because, you know, this Cubs team, it's almost like we wanted the Cubs team to be more, more best ever than they really turned out to be, because they broke the curse. You know, it's been 100 years since they won the World Series. We wanted them to be legendary, and instead it's okay. Instead, 5 years later, we're breaking it up. And it's not like there was a second act to them where, hey, you had the climax of them winning and the anticlimax was another World Series or another championship. You didn't get it. And look, the Nationals decided, look, you're talking about a team that in less than 2 years ago walked off that field against the Astros going, oh my goodness, we just had the most unbelievable of World Series runs, and we have everything we need. We have three really good starting pitchers. We get a lot of young stars, and then it just doesn't work out that way. And 3 years later, or less than a year and a half later, you're selling players off saying, okay, we're moving on. I mean, that really, it is more the norm than it is thinking they're going to be around. So, and look at the Dodgers this year, right? Okay, they coming off winning the World Series last year. Yes, it was a short year, but they have been great for so long. They're having trouble keeping up in the NL West because the Giants were good. So they got to go over the top now to go get Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. If I told you coming into the season, in the middle of the year, the Dodgers are going to have to go get Max Scherzer and Trey Turner just to get to first place, you would say I was crazy. What are you talking about? They got like 15 guys they could put out there right now that could play every day for any other team in the majors. What do you mean they don't? They got all the depth they need. No, they're still not winning enough because they got to go out and get one of the top five pitchers and the top five shortstops to go out and try to compete to get over and into the playoffs and not worry about being a one game and done wild card round.
They absolutely had depth, but not all the depth they needed, because I think at one point it was 8 starting pitchers were on the injured list all at the same time. Mm. And this brings up, I'll get talked about a little bit with the trade deadline, but this conversation with you and I also brings up the inequity in baseball. It's a non-salary cap league. But it's also, unlike football, it's a league where most of your games are not on national TV. So what you do with your local TV contract means a lot as to how much money you'll have to spend on payroll. So the Seattle Mariners are just flat out not going to get the money. Forget ticket sales. They're just not going to get the money during the course of the year to spend on their players that other contenders will. I will say, and don't forget this part of the conversation, there are teams in recent years like Phillies, like Boston last year, who spend a ton and don't go anywhere. It's not a guarantee, but it does help a team like the Dodgers, for example, weather the storm of the injuries or Bellinger essentially not showing up at the plate for most of the year and still being in contention.
Now, before I get to the team I think really won today, the trade deadline, two things that I just love that make me giggle from after the trades today is I started getting people in my timeline sending me one of those Facebook notifications, that people use. They say mark safe from this big rainstorm or this big thing. People are sending me marked safe from getting traded by the Cubs today. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. And then there's, I don't know who did it, but my wife sent it to me on social media. It's a picture of the outside of Wrigley Field, and there's a scaffold going up that's put up a Spirit Halloween sign across Wrigley Field. Like, we're coming in, we're moving in just for the next couple of months because everybody else is out. It's vacated.
Like,
so
we
here's
said,
a Spirit Halloween store.
On the show last night, the last one to leave Washington, turn out the lights. There is still a Juan Soto there. You talk about the future of the Nationals. Yes, it's a hefty job for them to rebuild. And they are rebuilding shockingly, within 2 years of winning the World Series. But they still have a key cog, a key piece that could be, kind of like with the Braves and having Chipper Jones for years, a guy that could be with the Nationals for years in Juan Soto.
Well, I thought the Mets would get Juan Soto today, but apparently at least that didn't happen.
Yeah, the fire sale. It wasn't everything on fire, apparently. Yeah. Most things were on fire. Not absolutely. For those who didn't hear, the trade deadline was this afternoon. The Cubs traded Chris Bryant to the Giants. He'll be a free agent after this season. The Cubs traded shortstop Javi Baez to the Mets. The Cubs traded closer Craig Kimbrell to the White Sox, who already have a closer, thank you, and a very high-priced one. Now they have two closers, and they're already in first place with, I believe, the largest lead in baseball anyway. So there's your White Sox. They won again tonight. They're closing in on 20 games over the 500 mark. So what the White Sox are doing in AL Central and what the Brewers are doing in NL Central is notable. I just saw that the Brewers haven't been this far over the 500 mark in July since 1979. So there are happy things going on for White Sox and Brewers fans this summer.
Look, as much as this move of Craig Kimbrell makes the White Sox even more unbeatable, because look, they clearly they should be in the World Series. They are by far and away the best overall and all-around team in the American League, and all they did was get stronger today. It's not like they didn't have a really good closer already in Hendricks. Now you had Kimbrell there. Oh my goodness. But the move I liked the most, because it was a team that was in first place that had to do something to answer what was going on around them. Look, the Mets getting Javi Baez is great. Baez is going to come in and he's going to bring his special infectious brand of baseball, and it's going to really ignite the team. And I'm really excited about it. But the Giants had to do something, because they just watched the Dodgers basically say, yeah, we're going to send our top two prospects away because we're pretty sure we're going to blow past you and get in the playoffs, because the Dodgers don't want to be in that wild card one game and out type situation, because then they'll have to wind up throwing Buehler for three innings and they're going to have to throw Kershaw for three innings. And so, yeah, this is what we're doing. And now here's the Giants, who said, OK, now we have to do something, because honestly, the Giants shouldn't be this good. The Giants are a bunch of guys that were OK 5 and 6 years ago. I mean, that's what's happening right now for the Giants, but they're meshing and they're in sync, right? It's not like a team that a night where they pitch well, they don't hit, a night where they hit well, they don't pitch well. No, they're in sync. But they needed something to come in and say, hey, we need proven players to take the load off a bit. And Bryant's still a big RBI guy, and someone who has won a World Series is going to come in, and he is going to be a huge lift for that team. It's trying to do it with Evan Longoria and Mike Yastrzemski. And on the pitching mound, you have Gausman and DeSclafani. And these are guys who were just guys 5 years ago, and now they're all in their 30s, and suddenly, hey, we're good. I mean, the Giants, I'm not saying they were doing with mirrors, but they needed something to answer these moves to keep them going and going to get Chris Bryant. Yeah, that was a great, great move. That's the one I like the most today.
And the Giants have two guys closing, and I wonder, once we get to playoffs, is that going to work? Because, you know, in the football, the old adage, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback. I'm wondering who's going to be the guy. Now, I know the White Sox, we just said, have two closers. That's a little bit different than what we're talking about. San Francisco is, fact, the best team in baseball still. They've been not only first place in the NL West for quite a while, but I think the Dodgers had not even been within a game or two since late April until recently. San Francisco has the best record in Major League Baseball. And the Chicago White Sox, for all the pitching discussion that we had, and there's a lot of meat on the bone there. I mean, Lance Lynn as a starter is having a great year for the White Sox. The White Sox offense is outscoring opponents by over 100 runs total so far this year. The Mets' entire division, there's nobody close to that number. Nobody's even outscoring anybody by 50 runs on the year in the Mets' division. The White Sox do, I looked it up, have by far the largest division lead of anybody in the American League. And you're right, it'd be a shock to not see them make their way through the AL playoffs. It's a good team.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, phone number 877-99 on Fox. Jason Smith, Steve DeSager coming up next. We had a huge injury in the National Football League. How long will Carson Wentz be out? What did Jay Glazer see when he went to Cowboys camp, when he went to Rams camp? And what does he have to say about what's going on with Simone Biles? An absolute must-hear interview coming up next. Jay is back now on his big Glaze Across America tour. All those big answers straight ahead right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two NFL notes for you, by the way. Did you see Troy Polamalu was in the news today?
Yeah, he's got COVID.
He announced he's tested positive, and next weekend he's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So they're still trying to determine if he can be cleared to travel to Canton, Ohio, in time for his enshrinement. Now, remember, he was in the centennial class of the 2020 Hall of Fame, and there was no ceremony then because of the pandemic. So we'll see. That would be awful for him, because we all, when we were seeing him play, saw a Hall of Famer. That guy's going to Canton. And then this quote I did see in Pro Football Talk, that now Philadelphia Eagles cornerback Darius Slay is returning to Detroit to face the Lions October 31st, but he doesn't see it as a revenge game. The quote from Slay is, no, not anymore. But if Matt Patricia was still there, yeah, I'd be very excited.
It could be the Matt Patricia revenge game. That's what it would be. But, you know, and one more thing we heard Jay say at the beginning, hoping that it's a 6 to 8 week injury for Carson Wentz, because I mean it when I said it just shocked me to hear, yes, we expect him back this season. Whoa, the season doesn't start for the 6 weeks. Yeah. You're saying, wait a minute, you expect him back
that
this
was on your
season?
Mind? Yeah,
that was a shocking thing. But if it is a 6 to 8 week injury, if this is where he comes back week two-ish, okay, the Colts will be okay. Look, I picked them to go to the AFC title game. All they needed was a quarterback. Granted, yes, you know, Wentz is a guy that's gotten hurt, and they have really biffed it by not bringing in another backup. Clearly, they know that if we bring in somebody that's going to make him nervous, and we may not get the best Carson Wentz, but still, you got to have a plan because stuff like this happens, and Wentz is a guy that has gotten hurt. But if it's a couple of weeks there without him, they're okay because they're loaded everywhere. But if they got to get to like week six, week seven without him, they're cooked. Because this is not a team that can survive for a long time. They needed the upgraded quarterback just to get there. Now you're talking about going back from where it was last year with Phillip Rivers. Yeah, if this is a shorter on the edge of 6 to 8 weeks, great. If it's really 8 weeks, a little bit past that, yeah, they're cooked for this season.
We've got a lot of NFL and Olympic news to get to. Let's go ahead and start the update with the Major League Baseball, though, because there are two games still going on what's usually a busy Friday night for Major League Baseball. Kenley Jansen, who hasn't been used all week, was just brought in the bottom of the eighth in a tie game.
Yeah.
Somehow got out of a bases-loaded jam. Yep. At Arizona. It's Dodgers 5, Diamondbacks 5. Meanwhile, the Giants are losing at home. Bottom of the ninth inning, San Francisco 9-5, down to Houston. The Houston Astros are the first-place team in the AL West. They started the night 5.5 games over the Oakland A's. Oakland has won 2-0 over the Angels, and the Rockies won at San Diego 9-4. Now to the NFL news. Quarterback Carson Wentz of the Colts is expected to miss the rest of the preseason. May need minor foot surgery, according to NFL Network. Indy's backup QB, Jacob Eason from the University of Washington, took the first team reps at camp today. Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott says he's not worried about his current shoulder strain, but he could be on a pitch count when he returns to practice. Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce missed practice today, left yesterday with hip and back tightness. Miami defensive back Xavien Howard did not practice due to a bad ankle. And the Jets release kicker Sam Ficken and Jacksonville cut kicker Aldrick Rosas, who is injured. The league's Hall of Fame game is Thursday, August 5th, next Thursday on Fox TV. Cowboys versus Steelers, or at least reasonable facsimiles. So those teams open camp first. The boards at Texas and Oklahoma, by the way, did vote unanimously today to join the SEC conference. The move scheduled for 2025. That's when the media rights deal expires. We'll see if they get out early. And football of another kind, U.S. men's soccer is in the Gold Cup final Sunday night on FS1 against Mexico. That's in Las Vegas. Meanwhile, U.S. women's soccer won its Olympic quarterfinal on penalty kicks, a thriller eliminating the Netherlands this morning our time. Goalie Alyssa Nayer stopped two kicks to get the win after saving a PK in about the 80th minute of regulation. The U.S., by the way, with four more offsides that cost goals. Men's soccer qualifying at the Olympics quarterfinals is in the morning. I should say the U.S. women's semis is early Monday, by the way. That's going to be U.S. against Canada. Early in the show, we talked about the Olympic event, still fairly new, is rugby sevens. For a football fan, it's fun to watch. It's only 7 minutes, perhaps, but it's nonstop action. You got the running, the tackling, the touchdowns, the extra points. The U.S. women did lose, I think, right before the semis. They're going to play for fifth place now, and that game comes up I guess, in the next few hours at Tokyo Stadium. We do have an update from last night. We mentioned an Olympic injury from American BMX star racer Connor Fields. He has now been moved out of critical care unit at a hospital a day after a brain hemorrhage during a qualifying crash at the Tokyo Games. Hurt during a qualifying run when he slammed into the first turn last night and was hit by two other riders. He's a 28-year-old from Las Vegas. Connor Fields was taken by stretcher to an ambulance. The doctors have reported no additional bleeding or injuries. There is Olympic basketball going on right now. We mentioned earlier France won its Saturday game. There are four games on the Saturday schedule. It's tomorrow in Japan. The U.S. will have the last of the four games. They'll be playing tomorrow morning our time against Czech Republic. Czech Republic, a team in its opener that did lead Iran by 20 early fourth quarter and beat them by a close margin. But they have the Bulls' Thomas Satoransky. He went 2-for-4, make that 2-for-14 from the floor in the first game of the Olympics, better in the second. Ex-Wizards first rounder Jan Vesely at 6-foot-11 is on this Czech team that's going to play the U.S. tomorrow. Last game, he had 19 points. There's a game going on right now. Halftime, Italy 42-39 over Nigeria. Nigeria, which is coached by Mike Brown, led today by USC's Chimesi Metu. He has 14 points. And Danilo Gallinari did not start, has only played 6 minutes for Italy and 3 points in the game so far. Update on the round three golf leaderboard at the Tokyo Games. American Xander Schauffele has a one-stroke lead over Japan's Hideki Matsuyama, who is tied for second with Mexico's Carlos Ortiz. And Rory McIlroy, representing Ireland, is only 2 strokes back. USA baseball faces South Korea early tomorrow. There is a baseball game going on right now as host Japan is up 7-2 against Mexico. The Mexican DH in this tournament is Adrian Gonzalez. He is 0-for-3 in this game tonight.
You have brought specific joy about telling everybody that Adrian Gonzalez has no hits tonight.
He's still
the last couple of nights. You've been very and Adrian Gonzalez still no hits in these couple of games.
It's just an update. It's just I'm dealing with facts. That's all. It's just numbers. If he was 3-for-3, I would say that as well. I promise.
It's just numbers. Okay.
U.S. men's water polo is playing right now and trailing third quarter 8-4 to Hungary. U.S. women's volleyball got swept by the Russians tonight. Another win for the U.S. in beach volleyball, though, 2-1 over Brazil. In tennis, number one Novak Djokovic is in the bronze medal match, and that comes up in just a few minutes. He had lost his semi to a top 10 player in the world, Germany's Alexander Zverev. Djokovic is also in the mixed doubles bronze medals match. The track and field got underway with a lot of qualifying and heats yesterday. The women's 100-meter semis and final are tomorrow morning our time. U.S. took silver in triathlon mixed relay. Britain won the gold. It's just like track is having mixed relay events. We saw swimming with a crazy mixed relay event as well. But in the pool, 2 golds for the U.S. tonight. Caleb Dressel, gold in the 100-meter butterfly. Katie Ledecky of the U.S., gold in the 800 freestyle. Australia did take 4 total medals in tonight's 4 swimming finals. Back to you.
All right, Steve-O, coming up next, speaking of the Olympics, this long-tenured team that we've spent so much time talking about the last few years, enjoy the next few days because I don't think it's going to be the same once we get to this time next week. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in tonight for Mike. And as we put a cap on the week and put a cap on the Olympics as we get set for a big Olympic weekend, you woke up this morning, you either saw it or you watched the highlights. The United States' thrilling win in penalties over the Netherlands in women's soccer. Megan Rapinoe scores the game winner. Alyssa Nair, this is the Alyssa Nair game, makes a big save on a penalty in the 80th minute. 2 big saves in penalties. The United States lives to fight another day in the semifinals. But the thing is, Steve, that this is a team that we have watched for the past few years, and we have kind
more than
of
a few. I mean, Carly like, Lloyd, 2012 yeah, Olympics.
Yeah. We feel like we have an ownership of them, and because every time we see them, they're all together, right? It's Rapinoe and Morgan and Carly Lloyd, and it's Julie Ertz, and this is when I think we're seeing them all together for the last time. They have struggled throughout these Olympics. And the two things I have seen watching their games is that, number one, they're not conditioned like the other teams are. And a lot of that is because when you get old overnight. And it's not something that happens slow. It's not something that, well, starting to slow down. It happens fast. And these younger teams are dictating the speed and the tempo of the play, and the United States is having trouble. And when I say, oh, yes, we have a lot of players in our 30s, in the upper 30s. I mean, this may be the last go-round for Rapinoe. This probably be the last go-round for Carly Lloyd. Mm-hmm. Megan Rapinoe comes in the 55th minute tonight, and she couldn't even run at the end of extra time. It was really eye-opening to see this. Look, Netherlands should have won the game today, not just because of the penalty, but they carried the better end of the play. After the Olympics, we're talking about the World Cup coming up soon after. This is going to be a time of change where you're going to see a lot of new names, because all these names we've seen for a while, I don't know that they can compete like they have. Because like I said, it happens overnight when you get old. And that's kind of what I've seen the women's national team so far in the Olympics.
What's great about U.S. women's national team in soccer is the incredible depth in that sport, specifically for the women in this country. Because Carly Lloyd's going to retire soon. Great career. Megan Rapinoe's going to retire soon, I'm sure. And I don't think they're going to skip a beat. And one of the examples I would give you for that, Katarina Macario. No one's heard of Kat Macario, but she's born in Brazil, but grew up some in San Diego and starred at Stanford. She's on this team and never gets on the field because the U.S. is so deep with one score after another. Eventually, the older players will go and someone like she will be able to get on the field. I mean, Abby Wambach was one of the greatest U.S. players ever, and she retired and the U.S. actually got better right afterwards. Hope Solo was the greatest goalie the U.S. has ever had.
Steve, we're out of time, my friend. We're out of time.